This is TWiT.
Probably the most important story of the week is that there is a update today to the update from last week. 14. You've always said this, Alex. Never download the first update, 14.7. You also say don't download the second update. Download the third update, which will fix the bugs they're introducing with
the blue update, not the red update.
It's a little stutter step that you got to do right behind the line before you go through the hole. You just kind of just like wait for all the blockers to do their thing, and then you move through.
In this case, I might not think it's a good idea to wait because iOS 14.7.1, which came out today, and macOS 11.5.1 fix a 0 day. So it might be kind of important. This
is it a Pegasus 0 day?
We're not sure, but we think it might be. Yeah, that seems to be the consensus. No one knows exactly, but that seems to be the consensus. It's a 0 day that will allow. This is for iOS, iPadOS, and macOS from Apple Support Hub. IO Mobile Frame Buffer available for iPhone 6S and later iPad Pro, iPad Air 2, iPad 5th Gen Mini, iPod Touch. An application may be able to execute arbitrary code with kernel privileges. Apple is aware of a report that this issue...
Good for you, Apple.
Yes. We are aware of a report that this issue may have been actively exploited. It's a memory corruption
issue. It's when their contiguous support for devices going back 5 years hurts them as much as it helps us.
Yeah. Yeah, and we want them to do that. Yeah, we want them to do that, but...
But still, whenever you see an update that comes right on the heels of a previous update, you know that something's just bad has happened and that you really, really should download this one.
It's either a bad bug or, in this case, it's a security issue. And that's probably not one to wait for. That's their 13th 0 day fix, by the way, this year. Which I don't think is an Apple thing. I think everybody's doing it.
Right.
I think the bad guys are very aggressive out there.
Still, it makes you nostalgic for the days when Apple used to crow about how, oh boy, aren't you glad you're using an Apple product, not one of those insecure, terrible, terrible, weak security devices from Google or somebody else or Windows? And you're right, it's not a reflection on Apple dropping the ball. It's a reflection on exactly how complicated these things have gotten, partly because of the exploding marketplace for malware at this point. It really is a turnkey operation for so many things at this point.
And this from the record, another reason why you might want to patch it quickly. Shortly after the patch, a security researcher published proof of concept code for the vulnerability on his Twitter timeline. And a second security researcher who says, I found this independently, published a detailed write-up of the issue, which he said he was preparing to report to Apple. Before he was surprised to find out that the OS maker had patched it. So, in other words, if there's proof of concept code out there, it's only a matter of time before people start writing their own. So, no longer is it merely the domain of Pegasus. All of you now can do the same thing.
Well, and I think also we just probably want to consider the scale of things. I mean, you know, Apple's posting a lot of patches doesn't mean how many of them have actually been exploited or at any kind of scale. I mean, we have entire cities getting shut down on.
You know, I understand.
Those aren't.
But these 13 patches are 0 days, which means they're in the wild.
They're in the wild, but I mean, we don't know what the numbers are.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
you know,
in the case of the Pegasus, it was a small number of targeted individuals. But once it's once the code's published, that suddenly can go to a large number. People.
You don't particularly care that this is only affected 2,000 people if you're one of the people gets affected.
Well, that's true.
So especially if you're a
journalist or a dissident in a country where
they absolutely have to fix it. I'm just saying when people worry about it,
you and I probably don't have to worry about it. Actually, you do.
Be informed.
You
about
do
it.
Work do. For big people. And you probably should pay more attention. What do you do? Do you, Alex? Given I think you've mentioned that you've spent some time in the White House. Not, I don't know, lately, but in the past.
A White House. She's White House. Not allowed
Somebody's
to say
a house
which
that is
White.
House. But do you? What do you do for security? You obviously have a higher duty.
On a day-to-day basis, right now I'm not doing any of those kinds of things. So when we lock down for events, last fall we spent a lot of time that we were most likely a target of state actors, or at least a potential target for state actors. And so due to the nature of our work. And so we, you know, we have a lot of security. My phone for, you know, my phone was something that I didn't, the phone that I used for that, number one, we didn't discuss anything on it. We kept everything on phone calls. But also you, you don't let it, you don't use messages like you use Signal, right, you know, for that. And even then you, you worry about everything that you're typing. Signal is set to usually a 24-hour deletion. So it just keeps on wiping, you know, as you're working. And then, you know, a lot of extra security. The computers don't touch other computers. You know, like they kind of do what they need to do. And only the ones that need to touch the internet, touch the internet. You get really paranoid about everybody who sends you anything. So every link, every email, every, when someone sends you a, they don't use blind CC. When my kids' teachers send, don't send me things that,
oh,
that don't,
that drives me nuts,
include blind CC. They get a quick email from me. That's as nice as I can make it. But like, hey, you're putting us all at risk. You know, like that is the, you know, that is, you know, a big piece of that.
A lot of people don't know that. But, you know, frankly, Alex, every time an app asks you to share your contact list, the whoever shares their contact list is sharing your
everything. We saw that at Clubhouse. Did you see that? How many phone numbers got compromised on Clubhouse over the weekend?
There you go. I rest my case.
It was millions, millions of phone numbers, including people from, like, celebrities, government.
Yeah. And, of course, Clubhouse, like all these apps say, well, if you want to know when your friend joins,
that's
just
terrifying.
Just
like
share
the Clubhouse
your contact
is,
list with us.
I did it. I have to admit, on my personal phone. But the more I, it was the number one thing that turned me off. Like, I just was like, I'm not going to do this. I don't even encourage people to use it.
Do you bring in a consultant? Do you have?
Oh yeah. No, our consultant. You, well, we had a really good consultant for last fall.
So that's so, okay. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, because this stuff's hard. And so, even though you're a very sophisticated user, you really want to bring in somebody who really, this is their job. This is what they do all the time.
I mean, fundamentally, the other thing you have to understand is that you can be leveraged. And so the main thing is that you just get really careful about what you put in email, what you put in texts, you know, even what you say over the phone. You just worry about it. You think about it. You know, just know that everything like that can be used against you. And one of the things is that you just don't do anything interesting. Like, I don't do anything interesting on the web. You know, like that that would get that I couldn't explain. Right. I don't, at this point, I don't do anything on the web that I can't explain to my wife, to the government, to the press, to the public, to the, like, if there's nothing, if I can't explain it, I won't do it because it's just too dangerous. Reddit.
Just assume that everything you do on the internet is public, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it could be at some point, including joining Clubhouse and your phone number. But that doesn't, that's a part of it, but there's also the issue of being hacked as a gateway. If your laptop got hacked and then you bring it inside the White House and now you're joining a White House network, you could be bringing in stuff. Yeah. So there's all sorts of other issues as well. You're you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of security there. So related to that, you know, the biggest problem you have when you plug into something like the White House is that you know that you're basically plugging into the NSA. So as soon as you plug your computer, so
it goes both ways, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like as soon as you plug that Ethernet in,
you're saying hello.
You can see it scanning, and it's just it just scans. It scans everything all the way down to the firmware. So it's So you're the most, like, you think Pegasus. Just think of that times 10. You're plugging your computer into it. So we did not plug our personal computers into Ethernet there. And
that's
primarily,
yeah,
we had video fiber. There's video fiber that goes out of the White House that goes into another building. That's where our master control was. So we didn't really need to stream from it. You just hook literally a SDI cable up and it just shows up somewhere else. Yeah. It goes through.
That's nice. It's not the public internet. It's
just fiber.
It's a big pipe.
Yeah, just a pipe.